Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a love that watches and hears and knows all about us and knows how to manage time perfectly and asks us to put ourselves at His disposal, to trust Him, and just do quite simply and fearlessly what He says. Many write to me describing their difficult circumstances, asking for help. I'm glad of that, and I pray for each one, asking the Lord what to say. I don't have any neat tricks. I don't even have any simplistic answers, I don't think, although I am accused of that. But I looked up that word simplistic, and I wondered if people really use the word accurately. But it means attempting to explain too much by a single principle or an inadequate principle. The great principle of the Christian life is the cross of Calvary. Do we attempt to explain too much by that single principle? I guess the Apostle Paul would have been labeled simplistic because he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need to remember that there are in each life the givens and the not givens. The Bible says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I have a letter here from a woman who asks this question. How can a woman who's never had any discipline, and I mean none, or parental involvement, my father was more implicated and not involved in my life as a child, how can such a woman learn anything about obedience and then be able to bring that to a marriage? How does that kind of tragic sins of the father, omission and commission, get fixed or corrected when the victim is almost 40 years old? Is it possible? Can just prayer and Bible reading do it? Or should there be some kind of professional handling of it, like a Christian psychologist? Is there some connection to the lack of obedience and discipline in nearly every area of life and understanding the personality type of the person who's afflicted by this through no fault of her own? Is it better to sort out the spiritual side first or the psychological aspect on a purely secular human level? I don't know, she says. I have a hard time answering a question like this, especially this last question about whether or not she needs professional handling. I don't really know. And I'm not here to knock psychologists and psychiatrists. What I do know is that very often, perhaps much more often than not, if we take our questions and our problems to the foot of the cross, they look different there when we spread them out under the face of God and honestly and earnestly seek on our knees God's answer. It might greatly simplify life. It might do away with the need for professional handling. But then, I'm not a professional. I'm just a woman who loves God, wants to know what God is saying, and wants to do what He says and help other people to do it. So, of course, since she writes to me, and I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, she's looking for my answer. And my answer would be, in this case, I don't think that it would be a good idea to start with a psychological aspect. I think it's always a better idea to start with the spiritual. Then maybe sometime, somehow, somewhere, you would need some psychological help. I do not know. But let's try God first. He says he is our wonderful counselor. He says, "Come to me, you who are tired and overburdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart." I do believe that it is possible to be a 40-year-old woman who's never had any discipline in her life. It's possible for her to learn something about obedience by putting herself under the lordship of Christ. That's what it amounts to. Romans 12, verse 1, "Make your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, an act of spiritual worship. And don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold." Well, I have three letters to read today. The second one says, "Last week I heard your broadcast regarding a mentoring program for older ladies to help guide younger ladies in the church. I mentioned how much I would enjoy a program like that in my home church at a discipling committee meeting. And they asked me to write you to see if you had any information in printed form regarding this program. I'm a single mom, raising a boy age 8 and a girl 5. It's a struggle, and it's very important to me to keep in contact with my single divorced friends. However, sometimes I just need to hear some common, normal advice from a woman within the marriage bonds. Another program idea just came to me: help the mothers of divorced kids. My mom and my ex-mother-in-law talk to each other every day. Their pain never goes away. They just feed off each other. Please help me if you can." Well, this was an unusual letter, asking for help for mothers whose sons and daughters are divorced. I would say to them that for them, the not given is the joy of having happily married children. They don't have that joy. There's been the sad break that divorce always brings. It simply is not given. They can't change this sorrow unless through prayer God should choose to intervene and bring reconciliation, which of course is always a possibility. We don't know whether God will do that or not, and he's told us to bring our requests. But if there is no reconciliation, for example, if one of the parties is already remarried, then this is a not given. And the response of a faithful Christian is acceptance. Eve usurped the not given. She was not given the right to be a god. She was supposed to be a human being. But Satan convinced her that she could become a god. And so she took what was not given, the one thing that God had forbidden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and brought sin into the world. It's unfortunate when people get together just to chew over and brood over things that can't be changed, as that mother and mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, are doing. The Apostle Paul said that we are to forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The not given must be accepted. The given must be accepted. Now, a word of warning regarding usurping the not given. Here's another letter. "I became a Christian 23 years ago. God has led me on a sometimes exciting and sometimes harrowing journey. For the past 10 years, I have been homeschooling. I enjoy it. My own mother still resists talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can tell I'm kind of skipping, can't you? The problem about which I write is the close proximity of a mother and or a mother-in-law. I, along with my husband 10 years ago, invited his parents to live next door to us after they retired. Several mature Christians gently warned us not to proceed. We thought these Christians were unfeeling, harsh, and unbiblical to mention such a thing. I found out too late, however, that God was using them to try to stop us from making the mistake of our lives. She tells in the rest of the letter what difficulties arose because the in-laws were living right next door. She says, "Please counsel older women to let go of their children emotionally when these children have their own families, not to live in close proximity, not to visit uninvited, not to give unwanted advice, and not to load younger family members down with severe problems that only Christ can answer. I'm shocked at how many families are disturbed, even divorced, because of meddling parents and in-laws. Teach the younger women to constantly lift their children up as God's, not their own, so that separation by moves, college, or marriage become gracious steps, not emotional devastation." I think that's a very important issue. And when parents cannot let go of their adult children, especially when those adult children marry, it leads invariably to problems. What are those parents doing but clinging to what is no longer given, which is control of their children? Usurping the not given, in other words, taking what does not belong to them. We have no rights over our adult children. We've done our job. We've done it, I trust, in the best way that we could. We've made mistakes, but the day comes when we turn those children over to God. Let God handle them. A word of warning about usurping the not given. That's just one area. There may be something in your life that you realize now you are wrongly clinging to, unwilling to open your hands. Give it back to God. Let go and find freedom and give freedom to your children.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.